let's go ahead and prepare for our lesson tonight. We're going to go on supplication. So this class is scriptural prayer. We've already defined supplication, and so I'm not going to do that tonight. We're just going to go ahead and move on with other aspects of praying. The first scripture I want us all to turn to is in the book of Ephesians, and it's chapter 6, verse 18. We are to pray for all saints. And Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication, there we see that, supplication, in the Spirit. And we're going to come back to that later. And watching thereunto with all perseverance, again, and supplication, we see it again, for all the saints. And tonight I want to talk about different aspects of praying for the saints, our brothers and sisters in Christ. And I want to use a little bit of personal experience tonight of some things that I've learned that I think will help you. If you come across some of it, you'll understand what's going on, and it'll be a blessing to you. Now, we're told and exhorted to pray for all the saints. And let's look at a couple other scriptures that shows us some of the needs of the saints. Go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 26. Hold your place in that first one, though. We may come back to that. Put a marker there or something. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 26. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. That may seem simple, but basically what that's saying to us is when one person in the body of Christ suffers, the rest of us may feel it. The rest of us suffer with that person. Why? Because we're connected and we're one body. We are one family. And in the same way, you feel it when it's somebody in your immediate family that you were born into or the family you married into. It can also be that way in your Christian family, that God, when He called us His children, He wanted us to have close fellowship, not just with Him, but also with each other, and to take care of each other. Now, Romans 15:1, it says, now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength, and not just please ourselves. What does that mean? It means we're to help carry the burdens of our brother and sister in Christ. And one of the ways we do that is through prayer. And it may not necessarily ever be recognized by anyone or known by anyone other than God. But it's something that we can do as service to the Lord and service to our brothers and sisters in Christ. That there are times where the Holy Ghost will be roaming over this earth looking for someone, the Spirit of God, looking for somebody that's put themselves in a position where they're willing and available to be used, to pray something out for somebody else that's in need. So God has assignments He wants to give out to people on the earth, things that He needs prayed out. And if you, I'm sure you were all diligent and read between pages 1 and 7 in the book on prayer that was assigned, and it talked about why it's necessary to pray on the earth. We may touch on that a little bit in another class, maybe even a little bit now. God created the earth. God made Adam and Eve, and He gave Adam dominion over all the works of God's hand. God delegated authority to Adam. But when Adam sinned, it was as though Adam forfeited his right to rule. God had basically made Adam the little lord of this earth, or the little g of this earth, little g God of this earth, and said, now you rule. But when he sinned, he gave that right up. He yielded that position in authority over to the devil by choosing sin. And because God said, don't eat from the tree of life because you'll know good from evil. And then when he came into the position of having done what he was told not to do, there were different things happened spiritually. And God did not want man to forever live in a state of sin. God then allowed death to come into the world. By Adam's sin. Sin leads to death. What Adam did by opening that door is he opened the door to death. God never planned on there being death. God never wanted anyone to experience death. That was not God's plan. That was the result of sin. God did not want man to live in the state of having the knowledge of good and evil and to live eternally with that knowledge, able to choose evil and remain in that state. So God had Jesus in mind. And had Jesus come to bring restoration to what Adam did when Adam fell by choosing sin. Now, it seems as though, and we know that there was a minister that said this, God can do nothing on the earth unless someone prays and asks. And people may think, well, that's not true. God can do anything he wants. God's sovereign. Yes, God is sovereign, but God has set up, and I'm going to call them laws, for us to live by, primarily written in his word, that even he won't violate. So it means we need to do things according to his word. There's a lot of scripture in the Old Testament that is if-then, conditional. If you do this, then I'll do that. If you do this, I'll bless you. So there are a lot of conditions in the Word of God. When we come up against those, if somebody hasn't lived by those properly, we need an intercessor, a go-between, somebody to stand in the gap for us to go to God, or we stand in the gap for ourselves and go to God so that things can be changed, right? So that consequences of sin don't come upon us. In other words, that law that's been set in motion can be changed by prayer. Prayer can change it. Just as Moses stood in the gap for the children in Israel. Over and over, when they chose disobedience, God stood in the gap for them. So there are reasons why we need to pray on this earth. Because God delegated authority. Adam forfeited the right to rule. Now, some of that has been reestablished through Jesus, but not in its entirety, because the devil is still here. And he is still messing with things in the natural realm. So we as Christians are called upon to pray, to intervene, to stand in the gap. Why? So that God's will can be accomplished. A lot of people think God's sovereign. If God wants to do it, he will. But that's not true. And one of the primary ways we can know that is because in the Bible it says it's his will that no man should perish. Yet we know that still some do, against his will. God doesn't want them to perish. He doesn't want anyone dying and going to hell, but some still do. So that means not everything that happens on this earth is God's will. So we, as Christians, can stand in the gap and pray for things to come to pass. We can stand in the gap to pray out God's will. Now, I want to take that with that understanding of why prayer is so essential on this earth. Everything is not happening just the way God wants it to. Hurricanes aren't necessarily God's will. Wars aren't necessarily God's will. Do you understand what I'm saying? There is a devil in this earth, and he is still moving and doing things. But as believers, we have authority over the works of the devil. But we need to know that, and then we need to exercise our authority. And one of the ways we can do that is through prayer. I want us to talk about this tonight, the prayer of supplication, where we're praying for all saints. We're making ourselves available to God. Here am I, Lord. Not necessarily send me. Here am I, Lord. Use me. If there's somebody that needs something, I'm willing. I'm available if you want to use me. And he will. But if people throw off burdens of prayer and don't yield to the Spirit of God, then God will find somebody else because he wants the work accomplished. And so he needs people that are making themselves available to his Spirit. And when God wants something done, he wants it done, which means he wants somebody that's willing to pray it all the way through. And we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight too. What are some of the ways we can pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ? We can pray the epistle prayers. We see prayers that are written in the letters to the churches in the New Testament. We can pray those out. Those are very effective prayers for the saints. It talks about opening the eyes of their understanding, that they may have wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. These are really good things to pray. Now, Paul wrote those letters to the church, meaning he was praying those for the church, meaning they're Holy Spirit-inspired prayers. That's a very good way to pray. But there are also other ways to pray. We can just pray in our understanding, use our mind, pray out what we know when we know somebody needs something. If they're single and they're lonely and they're hurting and they're aching because they want to get married and they've been waiting for years and years, we can pray for them. We can stand in the gap. There are times where we can just see something and know something and pray. But there are other times where we can pray in the Spirit because we may not know what someone needs. Oh, I'm so thankful for the gift of the Holy Spirit where we can pray in the Spirit and pray in tongues. I know we've prayed things out that our minds haven't even understood, but we've been able to cooperate with God so that his plans can come to pass for individuals, for churches, for ministries. And that's fabulous. So there are many different ways of praying. I'll give you an example. One time, quite a few years ago, many years ago, a young lady called me. She had been diagnosed with cancer. She chose to get prayer and to do what the doctor said, which was some medical treatment. So I had been praying with her. Doctors had told her that she needed to just do a whole bunch of medical treatments. And she had decided no. One of the things, they wanted to remove her uterus, and she had always wanted to have children. So she decided not to go along with what the doctor said in that, and to take a less severe course of medication. And yet, in doing that, they said she'd never have children. Now, the good news is she's healed. We prayed, and the Lord said if she wanted to have 5 kids, she could. And we stood in faith and in agreement together, and she now has 2 fabulous children. So that's the end of the good news there. But something along the line happened that was very interesting, and I learned a lot from it. One night, she called me, and some of the medicine they were having her take was making her sick. With when God heals and it's God alone, there are no side effects. We're thankful for doctors and what they can do, but sometimes their medicine has side effects. But you use wisdom and you pray, and you pray to be led to do what God leads you to do in each different situation, and you pray that people are led, and people need to go where their faith is at. You don't tell somebody, don't get it, don't use any drugs, just believe God. No, you try to identify, where are they at? What do they believe? Doctors are good and doctors help us, okay? So she decided that she was going to do both. Yet one night she called me. She said that she was really sick, that she was having just incredible fever the last few days. She was going from hot to cold, felt horribly nauseous, and asked me to pray. I said, sure, and we got off the phone, and it was in the evening. I started praying. This is going to sound funny. The longer I prayed, the sicker I felt. As I continued to pray, I started feeling nauseous. And I started feeling fever and the sweats and cold. And I went through the whole night like that. And at first I thought, what has happened? And at first I started thinking, it was me. It was happening to me. And yet as I continued in prayer, I realized, this is exactly what they had described to me. And what I realized is God was allowing me to experience some of that spiritually, even though it felt physical. Do you understand what I mean when I say that? It felt like I was feeling it physically, but I was feeling it spiritually. And I prayed through the whole night like that. And when I woke up the next morning, I called this person and I said, how are you doing? And they said, oh, you know, when we got off the phone, I just got better and better. And they never had another problem with side effects from that medicine they took from that point on. Something had been prayed through and prayed out. That's interesting. And I wrestled with that for a while because at first I didn't know what to do with that. I thought, well, wait a second. Jesus took all pain on the cross, and he did. But there can be an experience in prayer where you identify with someone. And I mean, I'll put it this way. You can pick up what they're going through. You can have a compassion, helps you to have a compassion. Now, there are 2 benefits to that. The first is you'll definitely have compassion for them. And the second is anytime I've felt it come on me like that, they've always gotten healed. Always. Every time. I don't know of any exceptions when I've prayed that they haven't gotten healed. They've been healed. Now, that is something that the Holy Spirit can do. It's not something that we do. There have been times, even recently, where I know somebody has been going through things and they've been sick, and I've wanted to take hold with that. Oh, I've wanted to pray for that person. And I mean, I can pray and just ask God, but I haven't had that, what I'm going to call burden, come upon me, where I experience something like for them. And so it's like I can try to pray. It's like even in your book it's mentioned that Kenneth Hagin would try to take hold with the Holy Spirit. You know, have you ever gotten hold of God and gone, this is really serious. This is really important. I really care about this person. Come on, Holy Ghost. Come on. Don't you see what's going on here? Don't you care? Now, of course he cares. But for whatever his reasons are, he either isn't choosing to use you in that, or he's just not putting that type of a burden upon you. Maybe he's using somebody else. Maybe there's things that we don't know about. So we are not to control the Holy Spirit. We're to yield to him. We can't tell him to take hold with us. He chooses to take hold with us. Do you understand? He is Lord. He leads, and we follow. That is not something that you seek after, but if it does happen, you can have some understanding for that. Let's go ahead and look at this scripture. It's Romans 8, 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Another word that can be used there would be weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself, and better there is himself, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And that's really what I want you to see there. It's the Holy Spirit that will take hold with us and pray for the saints according to the will of God. There are times where you may not know how to pray, but he does. And he will take hold with you and lead you in praying things out. I'll give you another example. This was like 15 years ago. A friend of mine had had a root canal. And in this root canal, they had a tremendous amount of pain. The doctor had told them that they needed to have another root canal. And they mentioned it when we were in a Bible study together many years ago, and they mentioned they were going to have to go in for a root canal. And I could just see it all over them, how uncomfortable they felt with that idea. And I volunteered. I said, well, I'll pray for you. Okay, all right. And I knew coming up within the next week or so that they were going to be going to the dentist, but I didn't know when. One morning that week, real soon after that, I woke up and I went in to have my prayer time with the Lord, and I started praying. And as I started praying, now I'm triggering you with what's going on there. When you just sit down to have your prayer time, I'm just expecting to pray. And as I sit down to pray, I'm praying, and I start praying, sensing I should just pray in the Holy Spirit. So I start, switch from English, and I start praying in the Holy Spirit. And as I start praying in the Holy Spirit, my mouth starts to hurt. I keep praying in the Holy Spirit, and I've just got unction to pray now. And the more I'm praying, the more my mouth starts hurting. That's weird. And then I start thinking, man, something's wrong. I'm going to have to go to the dentist. So what is wrong with me? And at this point, I'm laying on the floor, and I'll be honest with you, I'm crying. I'm in pain. That's what it felt like. And now I'm rolling around crying and praying. And I finally go, God, what is this? What is this? What's going on? I mean, how can you go from not hurting at all to just this tremendous pain? And as I'm praying, and then he goes, it's just think about this. He just gave me the name of this person. And it was like the light bulb went on, and I'm like, oh, that's right. Tell me they were going to have a root canal. And I thought, oh, and I said, I'd pray for them. And I'm like, oh, I'm like, okay. And I just kept praying in the Spirit and praying in the Spirit. It was a couple hours, praying in the Spirit, till finally that lifted. What do I mean by lifted? I got the victory. I didn't feel it anymore. It didn't hurt anymore. It was gone. Went back to my normal self. Now, I always was my normal self. What was happening there? The Holy Spirit was allowing me to have compassion, allowing me to have understanding. Now, one of those things with that, it helps you to pray it all the way through, because you know when it's done, and you know when it's not. And so, prayed it all the way through. And then later that afternoon, I got on the phone, and I'm like, how are you doing? Oh, they said, you know, now listen to this. And I might tell them myself in a little bit. You know, I went to the dentist today, thinking like, yeah, I know. And they said, you know, I had no pain. I said, I didn't feel anything. I'm really glad. Now I'm going to tell on myself a little bit here, okay? Some time went by, and they had to have another root canal. I didn't offer to pray that time, to be honest. Now, even though, just because I offered to pray, it doesn't mean I made that happen. Maybe the next time I would pray, maybe that wouldn't happen like that. But it, I mean, you want to talk about tremendous amounts of pain? And I got the report afterwards, and you know what they said? I had a root canal. Oh, how was it? It was horrible. You have no idea how much pain I went through. And I thought, isn't that interesting? They had three root canals. First one, tremendous amount of pain. The second one, zero pain. And the third one, a tremendous amount of pain. Now, isn't that interesting? Now, that's God. I mean, I'm sure it would have been better of me to have offered the second time too, okay? But you know, I'm human, and that was 15 years ago. However, I still remember laying. I remember the room I was in. I remember the carpet I was laying on. I remember laying on the floor. I don't want that to make you go, ooh, if that's what praying is like, I don't want to have any part of that. That's rare. These are rare experiences. That's not common, okay? That's not common. But I do want to share this with you because when sometimes something like this, if it does happen, I don't want you to cast it off or not know what that is. I want you to pray it all the way through. Now, I'm not saying that happens to everybody. It may never happen to you. And I'm not saying that prayer is like that. But I just want you to know that that is a possibility. Now, in all my years, I've only experienced that kind of pain probably those two times where it was really like that. I've experienced other things, but not like that. But that is possible in prayer. But, you know, I was going through some of those things when no one had ever taught me. No one ever shared anything with me. I thought there was something wrong with me. I thought I was suddenly sick. Well, no. No, God was just using me. But see, God didn't kind of come and sit down next to me and go, Gigi, you're now going to be doing the prayer of supplication, and you may feel some of the things that some of these people are feeling, and just know you're not sick. This is not you. This is a test, only a test, right? No. Okay, he didn't do that. So that's why things like Bible school are wonderful, because there are other people that can share some of these things and let you know that these can be normal occurrences for Christians or for people that spend a lot of time praying. And I'll also share this. I used to spend a tremendous amount of time praying. And actually, before I went to Bible school, I probably, well, I'm not going to say I prayed more, but I really prayed a lot. Brad was supporting me. I wasn't having to work, and I spent usually all day long praying. I had some real incredible experiences in prayer because I'd wait on God. That's what I did all day long. Well, not, I mean, I'd do the dishes and things like that, but I mean, I really spent a lot of time praying. And so God was able to really use me to pray a lot of things out because I was available. So I had a lot of experiences in prayer. If you want to have experiences in prayer, and some of them are fabulous, sometimes God will show you something. There were several times where God showed me that somebody was going to get engaged, and I knew they were going to get engaged, and God told me it wasn't his will because one person was going to be marrying an unbeliever. And I had to wrestle with that. And so I said, when that person gets home, I need to call them and tell, I had a dream, and I need to call them and tell them that they're not supposed to marry an unbeliever. And actually that God had a call of God on this person's life, and that if they married the unbeliever, it would affect the call of God on their life. And so I was going to do that when they got home, thinking that would be appropriate timing, thinking we had plenty of time. And they called us that night on the phone. Guess what? We're engaged. My heart sunk. I thought, oh, no. Now, this is one of those things that you don't always go and tell the people stuff you get. A lot of times you just pray stuff out. But I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, and I sensed that I was supposed to say something. You know, there are some decisions in life that are not gigantic, but salvation and who you marry are probably the two biggest decisions. Having kids would be then right in there after that, but salvation and who you marry. Now, most of the time, I don't say anything when God shows me something. I just do the best that I can in praying that thing out. And if I'm not quite getting it all the way prayed out, then I'll hook up with somebody else in prayer and pray it all the way out. Somebody that I can trust that's not going to go telling lots of people or anyone. You see what I'm saying? But for the most part, I pray it out quietly myself. Every once in a while, God may tell you, go share it with somebody. Go tell somebody this. I felt like I was supposed to go tell them. So I did. They attended church, but they attended a denominational church. And so they set up a special appointment, and I went and I shared with them what I'd gotten from the Lord. Then they went and they took it to their denominational minister. And how this can happen, I don't know, but that denominational minister counseled them, and they went ahead and got married. So apparently marrying an unbeliever to this denominational minister was an okay thing. But I mean, in that denomination, they have homosexual ministers. I mean, they have ministers that don't even believe the Bible. One of them had a Jewish wife. I mean, now that would be okay if they got saved afterwards, but I mean, how can you have a wife that's Jewish that doesn't believe in Jesus and then call yourself a Christian minister, right? I mean, the Bible says not to be unequally yoked. So they got counsel, and the counsel was to basically disregard this. They haven't been back in church. They got married. They married the unbeliever, and now they don't go to church. And so often people think Not only that, they've changed careers, and so I know that they haven't even been happy with what they've done. So often people think, I will change that person. I am strong enough that I can influence them and change them, and they'll come to church with me. But I've watched time and time again people go marry an unbeliever, and that not happen. The Bible says not to be unequally yoked. Now, these are some of the things that if you spend a lot of time in prayer, God will start using you and showing you things. You can pray things out for people. I remember there was another time. It was one of those earthquakes a long time ago. I'd been praying and praying and praying, and I didn't know why. But two of my friends that I'd gone to college with kept coming up to my heart. And I was just praying, and I didn't know how to pray, didn't know what it was. As far as I knew, I didn't think either one of them were believers, but I was just praying for them, praying for them. This was, I don't know, must have been in the 80s. I don't know if it was the 80, I guess maybe it was the 89 earthquake. I was just praying and praying for them, and didn't know why. And then we had that earthquake, and both of them lived in the city. And I talked to one of them, who has since become a Christian, and she said she was under a skylight that broke. And as she was standing under the skylight, she just felt to move, to leave. And that skylight of glass broke and shattered everywhere, and she really wasn't injured. And the other one was in the city, too, and was in the Marina District, where they had problems. I don't know if God was using things to shift them around, to move them around, but it seemed like to keep them safe. What was he doing? Guarding their lives? Giving one of them more time on earth to choose Jesus. I don't think that one has yet, but one of them had. And I didn't even know that one had become a believer yet. When we were in college, I didn't think she was. So what was God doing? Protecting her. How can God use somebody if they don't know how to pray in tongues, to pray something out if they don't know all the details? Do you realize how valuable you are to God on this earth? Because God's put in you the Holy Spirit. He's put in you part of himself so that his will can be accomplished and established on this earth. You can pray things out because he's living on the inside of you. You can pray things out without knowing all the details. You can pray out the plan and the path for your children's lives. You can pray it out for them. Even if they're not walking right now, you can pray those things out. Keep praying them out. You can say, I've tried this, and I've tried that, and I've tried this, and I've tried that. Well, try the Holy Ghost. You just keep staying with it with the Holy Ghost, because you'll be praying things out. You know, bless people's darling hearts. Sometimes it just takes them a while to get it. Have you noticed that? But you know, God is so patient. He's so much more patient than we are. Sometimes we can be tempted to get frustrated with people. Oh, they should know better. They do know better, and yet they chose wrong. Well, you know, we've all been there. But, you know, when you're looking at somebody else's sin or somebody else's situation in an area where maybe you have never struggled, it's easier to kind of think, what's with that? What's the big deal? Why don't they just quit? Or why don't they just this or that? You know? Why don't they just get a job? And yet, we're not in their shoes. We don't have their personality. We're different people. And so the goodness of God is just so patient to just keep working with people and working with people. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. He'll keep you praying things out for people. Keep them safe. Keep them in the right place at the right time. Keep them on the right path so they don't dump plan A for plan B. You know, the devil's got temptations to bring along. There's lots of plan Bs, but plan Bs are not plan A. Plan A is best. You know, I've just been around a lot of people recently that have been divorced. And Brad and I now kind of have this little, I'm sorry if any of you have, but anyway, Brad and I have this little joke of, you know, when we look at their spouses, the first one was always best. Now, I'm not saying that that's true in every case, but I've watched lots of people think they just get fed up with the other person's stuff or whatever, and they just go look for something else. And yet, as time goes by, I'm thinking, they just stayed with that first one. Now, is that true in every case? Well, it's best never to get divorced, but whatever state we're in, we serve the Lord in. Nobody that walks in love ever goes into a divorce court. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. And if not a neighbor, then not a spouse. And what's our job on this earth is to build each other up, to encourage each other, to love. And if we can't love our spouse, who are we going to love? I mean, that's the first person we made a God commitment to love. certainly we ought to be able to do that. So the Holy Spirit takes hold with us to make intercession for the saints according to the will of God. I'm going to just read a couple more of these to you before we wrap up. The Holy Spirit helps us pray. He does not do it for us while we sleep, lay on the couch, and watch TV. He helps us do it. Now, the helpeth here in the Greek, if we look back at that verse, it means to take hold against, with, together. It's kind of long, but he takes hold with us, together, against things. What? Against weaknesses, against temptations, against sicknesses. The comforter is the paraclete. So our helper is also a comforter. He's a paraclete. Now, that word paraclete means one called alongside to help. And we see that in John chapter 14, 16 to verses 18 and verse 26. He's called alongside to help. Now, when we look at the Amplified, we're talking about the Holy Spirit, our helper, who helps us pray things out. It says that the Amplified says the comforter is the counselor, the helper, the intercessor, the advocate, the strengthener, the standby. You've got the Holy Ghost on the inside of you, and he's helping you. Let me read this to you. 1 Corinthians 14:2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. Now, the Amplified helps us see this. So sometimes people think, well, if the Holy Spirit's there to pray through me, then I don't need to do anything. But that's not exactly accurate. We do need to do something. He's there to help us do it, but we're the doers. We're the ones that have to move our mouth. We're the ones that do it. We're the ones that speak it out. The Amplified in 1 Corinthians 14 says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit, in parentheses, by the Holy Spirit within me prays. So it's your spirit that's praying the words out, but you're doing it by the help or the assistance of the Holy Spirit. When we were in Myanmar, and those of you that are in this church know this, that on Sunday God started showing me something that he said to me in the pre-service prayer, if we had not gone to Burma, Myanmar, that those killings that occurred in Yangon, that there would have been more. And I thought, well, that was news to me. That was new information. I'd never heard that. I'd never thought like that or processed that. And as I've been thinking on that this last week, I was thinking, how can that be? You know, did we teach the students something? We did teach the students to pray in the Holy Spirit. They got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and a lot of them, it was for the first time. I'm thinking, well, maybe they prayed something out. And maybe they did. Maybe they were praying things out. But as Brad and I went home and we started talking about it, we talked about that the hotel we stayed in, there were a whole bunch of killings in there. The local people started rebelling against, not even rebelling would be the right word, they started rising up against how evil and corrupt the government is there. So there was an uprising against the government, and they just slaughtered hundreds of people. They just killed them. Thinking about that, and then Brad said, do you remember that we walked from our hotel down to that pagoda, which is a Buddhist temple, and we circled it, and then we walked down the other side of the street, and that's where most of the killings occurred, was that stretch. And I remembered then when we took that walk, because we'd walked other areas, like we went to this marketplace, and I don't really remember praying in tongues when we walked these other places, but when we left the hotel to take that one walk down around that pagoda and back, I kept praying in tongues the whole time. The whole time under my breath, I was praying in tongues. Finally, to the point that my son goes, Mommy, what are you doing? What are you doing? And what are you saying? And I said, I'm just praying. I'm just praying. And I hadn't really thought about that until afterwards. And I remember standing in one area where this lady was trying to get me to buy a bird, because in their Buddhist little traditions or rituals, if you let this bird go, you've done a good deed. You've set something free. So they go catch birds, put them in a cage, and they want you to pay them money, so then they let it go. And that's your good deed for the day. I guess in that, I don't know that much about that religion. You have to do good deeds or something. So I'm sitting there thinking, I'm not going to buy your bird. I'm not buying any of your birds. And I just wanted to tell her about Jesus. I'm like, I am free. I don't need to set anything free to be free. I am free. I know Jesus. I am free. And I remember walking away saying, Jesus, you'll be glorified. You'll be glorified here. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Now, I wasn't shouting it from the rooftops, but I did declare it. Jesus is Lord as we were walking on that street. Now, I don't think we've seen the fullness of that. because I don't think people getting killed is glorifying God. But there was something set in motion when we were on that street. And Brad said, do you even remember walking down that street, the animosity we felt there? And I said, yeah, and that's the only place I really felt it. Like, literally, we decided we didn't want to go back there. We walked up to that Buddhist temple. Now, listen, there aren't very many tourists in those countries, in that country, or in those cities. But the ones that go usually go to those pagodas. They're covered with gold, and they're supposed to be ornate and whatever. The three of us, Chad and Brad and myself, walked up to this Buddhist. So I'm thinking, well, let's go look at it at least, right? We walk up to it, and the three of us get to the entrance, literally the three of us. And they say, you have to take your shoes off. I could feel such evil. The spiritual atmosphere was so bad and so thick that I stood there, and all three of us started going backtracking. None of us would go in. None of us would even go into the place. Nobody said anything I didn't say anything to Chad. Chad didn't say anything to me. Brad didn't say anything. None of us said anything, but we all just started stepping backwards. Whatever's going on in there, we don't want to have any part of it. And we just walked around, kept praying in tongues, and then went back to our hotel. So we're going to wrap up. What happened? I didn't know what was happening. I think we still don't know the full extent of what was happening. All I did was pray in the Spirit, but I think we did a lot. And God starts showing you how much more we did than we even realized. Isn't it interesting? You can pray out mysteries. You can pray out things. You can hook up with the Holy Spirit and pray things out that you don't even know what you're praying. And pray out good things. I think when we get to heaven, we're going to be thrilled. God's going to start showing us, you know, look at, you prayed this out. You prayed this out. You prayed this out. This person got saved because you stood in the gap and you prayed for them. This person got healed. They would have died young of cancer. But you stood in the gap and you prayed for them, so they didn't die. And now that's a blessing that will be passed on to their children, their children's children, because now they'll have kids that will go to heaven. They'll serve the Lord. All the people you stood in faith for and you've prayed with, you've prayed the prayer of agreement with, the people you pray for their salvation, you stand, you command the devil to release their free will so that they can have salvation on this earth. There are people you've prayed for, you're continuing to pray for, and you will pray for in the future that you don't realize how much you're doing. You think, I just go to my job, I do my little job, I'm not even in the ministry. What good is my life? Your life is so good and so valuable, you have no idea, so let me tell you, you are so valuable to God. Do you know you could sit in your room and not go anywhere and you could be one of the most valuable people on the face of this earth? Because God needs people on the earth that will pray out His will. It is not the job of angels to preach the gospel. It is your job and my job. It is your job and my job to pray. You are valuable to God. Your prayers are valuable to God. Who me? Little old me, but I don't know much. I don't know much at all. Oh, you know so much. All you need to know is Jesus, the name of Jesus. And the rest just unfolds. You just follow Him in the Holy Ghost. And you don't need to know everything. You can just stumble onto some things and walk through them and learn later. I've done that. I'm still learning. You know, with God, what's exciting is that there's lots of stuff new. He doesn't necessarily do everything the same every single time. He does things different. So we stay dependent on Him and close to Him. You're valuable. Your prayers are valuable. He needs your prayers on this earth. He wants your prayers. You mean something to God. You're valuable. You're precious. He wants you praying for your sibling. He needs you. He wants you. There's things you can pray out. There's things you can pray out. You can stand in the gap for people. You can pray for people. There's people that you've made a difference in their life, and you may not have seen all of it yet, but someday you will. So keep praying. Be encouraged. You are valuable, and you've got the Holy Ghost on the inside of you, and He will lead you and show you all that you need to know. Amen.